All right, we'll then move on to administrative docket number 499. This is a petition that was filed by retired District Court Judge Brent Adams while he was still a District Court Judge and a member of the Continuing Legal Education Board. I invited Judge Adams to attend and participate in this hearing. He unfortunately was unable to do so, but he did provide me with written comments, which I'll read into the record. Judge Adams indicated that during his time on the CLE board that he formed the belief that the reporting responsibilities of the CLE board and the appointments to the CLE board should be directly to the Nevada Supreme Court as the governing institution for governing legal education in Nevada. He also believed that the board should be reconstituted to have a member judge from both the North and from the South, and that was the reason behind his petition. I have set this for public hearing so we could move this matter along. There has been some history, at least in the past 9 months or so, of changes in appointments and the like. And I think there are a number of other questions or issues that surround the governance of a continuing legal education in our state, and it is something that we haven't really examined in depth much since 1982 or after the bylaws were amended with the assistance of Harriet Cummings. So with that, I would invite any persons in Carson City to address the court, if you wish to do so, concerning this particular petition. Ms. Hubach, how are you today?
Good, Judge. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good afternoon, Justices, Board of Governors, members of the CLE Board staff. Your Honor, with permission, I would like to just make a brief presentation to the court, outlining some comments and concerns that the board has.
Sure.
As you know, on July 30th, 2014, the ADKT was put forth by Judge Adams. The origination of the request was based upon inquiry from this honorable court. And the question, I believe, is whether or not we should be governed by the court or be overseen by the Board of Governors. We have requested as a board to be overseen by this honorable court for several reasons. First and foremost is the conflict of interest. Currently, 25 MCLA states are under the direction of their Supreme Courts, while only 16 remain under the direction of their state bars. Five states do not have MCLE, unfortunately. However, the national organization is working towards pushing them in that direction. The Nevada Board, in that regard, became actively involved on the national level about 3 years ago at the encouragement of then Vice Chair Harriet Cummings. She was instrumental in getting us involved, and by doing so, we started to attend national meetings. We learned many, many things, and of most importance is the fact that now we are online, and that was because of that involvement nationally. Our members now have the ability to get their CLE information and current status online. Soon our members will be able to even pay their fees online and provide their reports online as well. We are progressing into the 21st century. Having been created, as Justice Hardesty pointed out, in 1982, it has been a very long journey. The second item of importance was the fact the true conflict of interest between sponsors and regulators also became clear by way of our national involvement. The State Bar of Nevada is a CLE provider. We are the CLE regulators. Our function is to review applications from sponsors for CLE programs and make sure that they meet the CLE guidelines so that our members receive quality education. You cannot have the sponsor regulated by the regulator. Or simply put, you cannot have the hen house managed by the hen. It simply is a true conflict of interest. Over the past couple of years, it became a very grave issue. Some courses that have been provided by the State Bar, unfortunately, were declined for CLE credit. Clearly, there was a conflict of interest. The second reason is that essentially the board currently has what I would call two parents, or two supervisors. Excuse me, when the board was originally created, certainly back in 1982, the board needed some guidance. It was a brand new entity. Nobody had ever done anything like this in Nevada before. We needed assistance. And the State Bar of Nevada appeared to be the logical and appropriate place to get that guidance. And they certainly did provide guidance over the years. However, as time progressed and the board grew and the board expanded and the board became more experienced and more educated, we became an independent entity. We were self-sufficient. We have been self-sufficient. We've been very proficient. The State Bar of Nevada grew in terms of providing continuing legal education programs, therefore the conflict seemed to grow. And this conflict, I think, has been simmering for quite a while and just hasn't come to light until now. In 2010, Your Honor, ordered the board to review, revise, and enhance the compliance rules. And fortunately for me, that's when I ended up on the board. I was on the Board of Governors at the time, and I was appointed as the board liaison. And Ms. Cummings and I were involved in rewriting the Supreme Court rules for compliance, increasing the sanction, and changing the structure, trying very, very hard to get the attorneys to get into compliance. We then revisited, revised the regulations and the bylaws, all of which were presented to the court. We had public hearing, and the court ultimately accepted all of the proposed changes and additions. I mention this because that was at the direction of the court, rather than the Board of Governors. Again, pointing out that at that point, put the board in a position where we have two parents, two bosses. So who do we answer to is the ultimate question. Next, tensions began to develop, and I think it was even more than 9 months ago, quite honestly, Justice. It started, I believe, December of 2013. We as a board, for 25 years plus, it had always been the procedure when we had a vacancy on the board to advertise that vacancy. The end of 2013, we had two seats that were expiring but could be renewed if the person wanted to be reappointed. And then we had Judge Peck, who left us. She resigned her position to go to the Board of Bar Examiners. At that point, normally what would happen is we would advertise, which we did. We'd collect applications, which we did. We would then set up interviews, which we didn't, because everything came to a screeching halt. We got a call indicating that the State Bar was going to meet, wanted all the applications, they would make the decision, and we had no input. And that is when the tensions really escalated. And being a small board of seven, as this court consists of seven, you're very well aware of how small units work very closely together. There should be at least some input from the board to whatever entity may appoint its members, be it the Supreme Court or the Board of Governors, and that didn't happen back then. In addition, Judge Peck's replacement was made without interview. Following that, two board members, I'm sure you're aware of this, one was with us for 12 years and then one for four, even though we're current board members, were put through the interview process as well. As a side note, when I was on the Board of Governors, I just don't recall a time when we did such a thing to any board or committee. And I don't know if that's perhaps a change in policy and we do it now with other boards and committees. I can't imagine they would. It's very time consuming. I sat in yesterday, excuse me, on the board interviews that the Board of Governors conducted. And quite frankly, it was from 10 in the morning till 5 o'clock at night. Very, very time-consuming process. So I just can't imagine that it happens in every single board. So again, that goes to the conflict that has evolved over time. We have always been a good, close working board, working closely and well with the staff. The sudden contention and the seeming disintegration between our entity and the State Bar was very disturbing. Issues that came up, for example, having two board members who really needed to be focused on rewriting the personnel manual, had to divert their attention to the interviews. So as a result, the personnel manual still hasn't been revised. And now we're finally, after all is said and done, after all the turmoil, which is a separate issue that happened over the summer with change in personnel, now we're getting back on track. But we shouldn't have to have such a divisive relationship. And we shouldn't have to cause our attention to be diverted. We want to further our goals, compliance, protection of the community. Now, I must say, in the last several months, the relationship between the board and the State Bar has improved dramatically. We are working hard. Ms. Bogdan, our new executive director, and myself met with President-elect Digesti. We had a very nice conversation. We also then met with Executive Director Kim Farmer and Gail, and again had a very nice conversation. We want an open communication. There's no reason why we can't work together instead of apart or against each other. We are making suggestions such as, we plan on having our summer meeting at the Seattle Convention. That used to always be the normal course. We would have our summer meeting in connection with the State Bar of Nevada. We also wish to meet, and I've already asked, and I'm told that it's perfectly fine to meet with the Board of Governors as they do a joint meeting with the justices once a year. Again, keeping communication open. We also want to provide a scholarship program for the trial advocacy program for the State Bar of Nevada. And we've already done this one, we've created a hardship fund. We have attorneys that, we had one in particular just a couple months ago that contacted our office. He was going to have to sell his car in order to pay for not only his fees, and of course his late fees because he had gotten behind, but also for his CLE credits. So what we've done is created a fund to pay for those fees, and then we want to scholarship them, pay for their CLEs if they take them through the State Bar. So again, working together, not apart, not being divisive, trying to help the legal community and the public as two separate entities, as we should. Yesterday, I also learned of one additional item that we are able to get involved with, and that is the National Moot Court Program that's going to be hosted in Reno in 2018. Several nonprofits are going to sponsor that, and we, as a board, have offered to be involved in that as well. Again, we're trying to come together to help the community. The conflict of interest, though, still remains. Having a sponsor, regulator is truly a conflict of interest. I still, to this day, do not understand why the tensions initially started in December of 2013. But for whatever reason they did, and quite frankly, a lot of good things have happened over the last several months, even though we had a change in the guard, as it were. We are moving forward. We have a brand new office structure. We have the new computer system. We are taking great strides to be productive to our members, to service our members, and we always have. There should be no reason for anyone to be questioning or alarmed as to that not being done, because that's always been done. I have watched the staff, personally, pick up the phone and call many attorneys before they ever land on petition. We get the names as board members of people who are going on petition, and we as board members sit down and contact those people. We reach out. And believe it or not, you see a lot less on your final petition because of that effort. I bring all of this up because right now we have a very experienced board. And if the two people that are up for reappointment are not appointed, that's going to change. Currently, we have a situation where we have a new judicial person, Judge Barry. We're very excited to have her. we have a new Board of Governor liaison, Richard Dreitzer. Very excited to have him. And I might add, we conducted a orientation for Mr. Dreitzer, Frank Flaherty, and Kathleen Pastian at a December meeting. First time we've ever done that for new board members to try and integrate them into the system. If these two are not reappointed, we're going to end up with a board that has, at most, myself with 4 years' experience, the next one, 1 year, the next 6 months, the rest, zero. Again, pointing out that you've got the sponsor regulating the regulator, and it's just, it's not working. We want to work alongside the State Bar. We want to work together. We must maintain the continuity of our board and keep the experience necessary to keep operating. We don't want to fix something that's not broken. We want to move forward. I also want to point out our Vice Chair, Vic Draculich. He very much wanted to be here today in support of this ADKT. He's been very hardworking on our board. In fact, he interviewed to be reappointed yesterday. Unfortunately, he is at MD Anderson Center right now getting cancer treatment, so he could not join us. Lastly, I just want to point out that having experienced board members, especially in a time like this, when we are going through great transition, is absolutely imperative. And having people with experience that want to volunteer countless hours, and believe me, the board, it's a working board. It spends a lot of time on these issues. Finding those people is difficult enough. Keeping them is essential. And I think this new process that's been put in place is going to deter people, not help. And it's certainly not keeping our board together. If anything, it's almost getting ripped apart. So having said that, I urge the court to become the overseer, give the COE board one parent instead of two, get rid of the conflict of interest that exists between the two entities, and let us move forward together as two separate entities working in a positive direction to promote legal education, protect the community, and further protect the attorney members of the bar. Thank you very much.
Okay, Ms. Hubach, thank you very much. Do any members of the court have any questions for Ms. Hubach?
Well, I'd like to go first. I had the pleasure with Justice Gibbons of making a presentation about CLE in Nevada to the board, the regulators from all over the country that Ms. Hubach and the CLE people put on. And it was a pleasure to meet the staff. And Ms. Hubach and I were on the Client Security Fund together for years and served the State Bar. And somehow I got involved in the fact that they weren't going to reappoint Ms. Hubach and they weren't going to reappoint our court clerk, Harriet Cummings. And I got involved, and I could not understand why. And to this day, I don't understand. In fact, I once made a statement to Elena Graham, because she was incoming president, you know, if you really want to get rid of somebody, then get rid of Harriet, and then come to the Supreme Court and say, we got rid of your clerk, and tell us why Ms. Cummings was not competent enough to be on this board after she devoted so many hours and really sacrificed time with her family and everything else to be on the CLE board. So I'm warning you in advance, when you come up to tell me how great it is with the relationship, nonsense. Because I didn't need to get involved in this as a Supreme Court justice to try to protect two women who valiantly served the Board of Governors. One who was on the Client Security Fund with me and also was a member of your own board and then was the liaison to the CLE. And I got to meet all those people that are in the audience here on the left side. And I felt unique that you're sitting on opposite sides. It looks like it's an adversary proceeding today. So at least from this justice's point of view, having worked with the CLE people and having successfully completed CLE since 1982, and again, I've reached the age of 70, so I think I'm exempt, but I'll still do CLE. Ms. Hubach, you do a fine job. I got to meet Ms. Poston. Mr. Flaherty, of course, I know very well. They should be both reappointed. I was one who suggested, I was one of the seven that suggested Judge Barry. I go back with the Jan Barry forever, since I've been on the bench in 1998 when I first met her, 99 rather when I took the bench. And so I'm very satisfied with the CLE board as a board. And I think there's an obvious conflict. I do a lot of CLE outside of the state bar. And certainly, if they're a provider, they should not be an overseer or regulator, or regulate the regulators. And I got to meet regulators from all over the country and ask those questions when we spent all that time at the Mirage last February. And I remember it very well because my mother had just passed away. And I still, even though she passed away, I wanted to make sure that I participated because I had already put blood, sweat, and tears in trying to protect Ms. Schubach and our own Harriet Cummings, who happens to be one of the most competent people I've ever met. And so I don't mean to be hot on this, but I wanted to warn the state bar before they get up and say, we should regulate the regulators. Please, don't insult my intelligence about regulating the regulators. Let the regulators be regulated by this group, the Supreme Court of Nevada. I rest my case.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other justices have any questions or comments with regard to the petition? I did have a question, Ms. Schubach, and they're really questions for clarification, and I don't know if you're in a position to answer them today. There have been different pieces of information that have been brought to my attention concerning the financial status of the CLE board. And I am concerned about, first, are the reserves that have been accumulated by the CLE board in any way encumbered or pledged to anyone, either past employees or any other programs?
No, they are not. However, I will say this. Over the summer, as you know, we lost our executive director.
Mm-hmm.
And there was and is a hole in the personnel manual having to do with accumulated sick time. We ended up having to have outside counsel. Fortunately, they did it pro bono for us, so it didn't cost our members anything. Come in and basically negotiate a settlement with that person. We have two more employees with longevity, 20 and 21 years. Our executive director, I believe, was with us for 28. And we are in the process of figuring out how we're going to compensate them for all of the hours that they have accrued in sick time, because as of 2015, that is now gone. There is no accrued. There's no such thing as the bank that you're going to rely on when you quit or retire, as it were. So I foresee that some of that will have to go to compensate those two individuals. However, other than that, the other thing would be if, in fact, we are correct, and I hope we are, that with our new computer system, compliance goes up and revenue goes down, we may very well end up having to use some of those reserves for operating. I don't know at this point. I think it's too early to tell. We do have a finance committee that's been working on going through all of the finances and trying to come up with a report for the court so you can see exactly where everything goes and what we're doing. We have a new office manager, Ms. Wittick. Would you stand up? She has an accounting background, and she is going to be presenting to your honors a full-scale budget, so you can see everything.
And when would that be?
When do you think? She, in her defense, she's been trying to unravel what we had from 28 years worth, so she's creating entirely new systems.
Mm-hmm.
Kafori Armstrong is our audit company, and I know they wanted until April 15th because that's when they actually get all of our audit stuff together. But we can certainly come up with a preliminary one, I'm sure, within the next month or two, if that's satisfactory.
Ms. Schubach, I presume you're here and have the authority to speak on behalf of the board. It seems to me that there are a number of issues that exist or that are presented by this petition that would require some further vetting. Is your board supportive of the appointment of a Blue Ribbon Committee to examine this question further?
I would think so.
Okay. All right. Any other questions of Ms. Schubach? All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Schulock. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anyone else in Carson City or I see Ms. Morgan, Mr. Digesti, Mr. Mattioni. Do you wish to address this or is Ms. Graham going to do so?
Ms. Graham is going to, Your
Honor. Okay. All right. Ms. Graham, I understand you're in Las Vegas and would you like to approach?
Yes. Thank you. Good afternoon, Chief Justice and Justices. My name is Elana T. Graham, and I'm president of the State Bar of Nevada. I am speaking in opposition to ADKT 499 regarding rule change as to creation of the Board of Continuing Legal Education. The State Bar of Nevada governs the legal profession in Nevada and is very interested in expertise in the practice of law for the benefit of all Nevadans. Our State Bar of Nevada Board of Governors strongly believes we must keep Supreme Court Rule 207 as it is with Board of Governors appointing 6 members of the Board of Continuing Legal Education. It gives us a form of indirect oversight with ultimate control by the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, we have just completed the interview process for 2 new vacancies. The Board of Governors has expressed concern over several aspects of the Board of Continuing Legal Education based on review by our task force. Lack of transparency of operations and financial reports. Slow response and use of technology to communicate with attorneys and track records. Cost of administrative functions. Extensive, very extensive reserves. And lack of effort to seek alternative revenue sources in addition to member dues. There appears to have been some progress on some of these things. It is the Board of Governors' opinion that this ADKT is a direct result of the Board of Governors' involvement in identifying inefficient operations of the Board of Continuing Legal Education and is an attempt to remove the Board of Governors from any oversight responsibility. The State Bar of Nevada is willing to accept any appointment from the court to serve in a supervisory oversight function for the Board of Continuing Legal Education. The State Bar of Nevada has much experience in supervision and oversight relationships with entities while staying separate from the core function of the supervised entity. For example, the bar examination is administered by staff of the State Bar of Nevada with a board of bar examiners, setting policy and making decisions for the bar examination. Also, the discipline function of the State Bar is administered by the State Bar of Nevada, but all decisions on discipline are made by the Office of Bar Counsel and discipline panels. And so the Board of Governors is not involved in discipline decisions. At this time, considering our concerns about the Board of Continuing Legal Education, it is even more important that the State Bar of Nevada Board of Governors appoint 6 members of the CLE Board to help ensure good service for the lawyers of Nevada. And if the Board of Governors does not appoint Board of Continuing Legal Education members, there is no connection between the State Bar of Nevada Board of Governors and the Board of Continuing Legal Education. This would not be a good idea. Thank you.
All right. Are there any questions to be directed to Ms. Graham or comments? All right. Thank you, Ms. Graham, for being present here today. I'll ask you the same question that I'd asked Ms. Hubach. Does the Board of Governors have an objection to the potential appointment of a commission to study in more depth the issues that you have articulated and Ms. Huback has commented upon?
As a matter of fact, we would welcome that. We already have a task force in place that has extensive knowledge. So I think that a study would be most beneficial. And the bottom line is our great interest in the expertise in the practice of law and, in turn, the protection of the public.
Are the task force members all members of the Board of Governors?
They are.
Okay.
And in addition, if there's contemplation of appointing people who are not members of the Board of Governors, I don't know the Board of Governors' positions, but I presume that they would welcome it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Are there any other questions based on my questions or comments? Thank you very much, Ms. Graham, for being here.
And thank you.
Are there any other persons in Las Vegas who wish to address the court on this administrative docket matter?
People in the audience have shook their heads and they say no, so we're done down here.
Chickens. Okay. I'm just kidding. All right, and I assume, Ms. Morgan, as you mentioned earlier, you and Larry and Paul, you're all good to go? Okay. All right, then thank you for your input here today, and I appreciate everybody's attendance and participation in this administrative hearing. This matter will stand submitted for the court to discuss further, and we appreciate your participation.